Our sermon today picks up from the reading that we heard from Steve earlier, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 15 through 27. Then Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will accept nothing." He urged him to accept, but he refused. Then Naaman said, "If not, please let 2 mule loads of earth be given to your servant, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god except the Lord. But may the Lord pardon your servant on one count. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow down in the house of Rimmon, when I do bow down in the house of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant on this one count." He said to him, "Go in peace." But when Naaman had gone from him a short distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "My master has let that Aramean Naaman off too lightly by not accepting from him what he offered. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something out of him." So Gehazi went after Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he jumped down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is everything all right?" He replied, "Yes, but my master has sent me to say, 2 members of a company of prophets have just come from me to me from the hill company of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of clothing." Naaman said, "Please accept 2 talents. He urged him and tied up 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of clothing. And he gave them to 2 of his servants who carried them in front of Gehazi. When he came to the citadel, he took the bags from them and stored them inside. He dismissed the men and they left. He went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" He answered, "Your servant has not gone anywhere at all." But Elisha said to him, "Did I not go with you in spirit when someone left his chariot to meet you? Is this a time to accept money and to accept clothing, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen and male and female slaves? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever." So he left his presence leprous, white as snow. Thank you, God, for the good gift of your word. I've long wanted to preach about Gehazi, the servant of the prophet Elijah, and our Through the Bible A to Z series has now given me that opportunity. We don't know much about Gehazi, where he came from, how he had met Elijah and became his servant. But as Elisha's servant, Gehazi had been a witness to many of Elisha's miracles. A woman in Shunem had taken care of Elisha, feeding him whenever he came into town, and eventually building a small room on the rooftop of her house for him, complete with bed, chair, table, and lamp, so he could stay overnight when necessary. Grateful for her generosity, Elisha wanted to do something to repay her kindness. Would she like Elisha to put in a good word for her with the king or with the commander of the army? She said, "No, thank you." She was content with her life. She was wealthy and well off, and everything was good. It was Gehazi who said, "Her husband is old and she doesn't have a son." So Elisha made it possible for her to have a son. But the boy died only a few years later. His mother came to Elisha in great distress, and when the prophet realized her child had died, he sent Gehazi to her home to put his staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. So Elisha came to the house himself and prayed to the Lord. Then he got up on the bed and lay upon the child, putting his mouth upon the child's mouth, his eyes upon the child's eyes, and his hands upon the child's hands. While he lay bent over him, the child's body became warm. Elisha got up, walked once to and fro in the room, then got up again and bent over him. And this time the child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. He was alive again. Elisha told Gehazi to call the boy's mother. When she came to him, he said, "Take your son." She fell at his feet, bowing to the ground in great gratitude. Then she took her son and left. So Gehazi was on the front lines of Elisha's godly work. He even participated, although his attempt at resuscitating the child was unsuccessful. Was he slated to be Elisha's successor, much as Elijah had thrown his cloak on Elisha to signify that he would be the next prophet for the people of Israel after Elijah whirlwinded up to heaven? Was Elijah grooming Gehazi? Gehazi had a good gig going, but all it took was one gaffe to gunk it all up. We heard the wonderful story of Naaman's healing. Leprosy in those days was a dreaded disease that was considered incurable. People who contacted it had to isolate themselves from everyone else. And when they did venture out, they had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," to warn everyone to stay away from them. It must have been bitterly ironic for Naaman, a commander of the army of the king of Aram, a great man and in high favor with his master, a mighty warrior, to have to contend with leprosy, which negated all his loftiness and made him less than even a slave. Desperate for a cure, he heeded the advice of a young Israeli girl whom he had captured on a raid and given to his wife as a maid. The girl said, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Well, it was worth a shot. And as we heard, he went to Elijah and got mad because Elijah didn't put on a show expressly for him. But when he finally acquiesced and followed Elisha's simple instructions to wash himself in the Jordan River 7 times, he was cured just like that. Full of gratitude for this new lease on life, he tried to give Elisha a gift, but Elisha refused. Perhaps he didn't want to accept a pagan-tainted present. Most probably, he didn't want to set a precedent for presents. He didn't want to set forth the idea that his services as a prophet of God were for sale. He wanted to be sure the glory went to the right person, to God, the great healer, not to him, Elijah, who was merely God's agent. The miracle was God's doing, not Elisha's. But if Elisha felt no need to accept Naaman's nice gesture, Gehazi had the gumption to ask for it. Gehazi had a front row seat to the new miracle. He was probably the person Elisha sent out to give the astounding instructions that would cure Naaman. He had brought Elijah's word on other occasions. He would have seen Naaman before and after his healing. Gehazi thought the miracle shouldn't go unrewarded. After all, it restored Naaman to normalcy and gave him back his status. Why shouldn't he offer something for this miracle? Yes, G is for Gehazi, and G is also for greedy. But there's another nuance we need to notice here. Gehazi said something egregious about Naaman. He called him that Aramean with barely concealed contempt. Aram was an enemy of Israel. Aram, led by Naaman, had attacked and ravaged Israel. To Gehazi, letting Naaman go without paying some dues was unacceptable. Elijah was a fool to let him go without milking him of all he was worth and all he wanted to give. Here was a chance to exact some payback from the enemy. Here was a chance to get into at least one of their pockets and make at least one of them pay for all the trouble his people caused Israel. If Elijah was loath to take a token of thanks, well, Gehazi certainly wasn't. He made the same oath Elijah had. "As the Lord lives," Elijah said, "I will accept nothing. By God's grace, I want no reward for what I have done. It helped to show you that there is a God in Israel, and now you believe. That is my reward." "As the Lord lives," Gehazi said, "I'm going to get me something out of that arrogant Aramean. By God's grace, I'm going to get what is due to me. To me and Elijah." Because, of course, he was doing for the both, of course. Gehazi must have heard Naaman's declaration that from now on he was going to worship and serve the one God of Israel. That meant that he was now a spiritual Israelite, a brother in spirit to Gehazi. Gehazi should have rejoiced over that, but greed got the better of him. Gehazi was a go-getter. He set out after Naaman and told him his tale of needing clothing and silver for some prophets that had popped in for a visit. Naaman had no reason to believe Gehazi wasn't telling the truth, and he was probably quite glad to think Elijah had changed his mind and now wanted to accept the gift after all. Gehazi was clever, or at least he thought he was. He didn't ask for a lot, just for some silver and clothes. Naaman insisted he take twice as much as he asked for. I bet they play the little game. Oh no, Naaman, I couldn't possibly take that much. I insist, Gehazi, take it, all. We only need one, Naaman, that's all. Don't trouble yourself anymore. Take two, Gehazi. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Well, if you insist. All right. It was quite a lot of silver. A talent was about 120 pounds, so Gehazi garnered 240 pounds of silver. So much silver that two of Naaman's servants had to carry it for him. He had them stash the bags in a nearby tower and then sent them away. Grinning and gloating, Gehazi was immensely pleased with himself. He went back to Elisha, sure his scheme had escaped notice. He probably thought Naaman would never know that he thought Elijah would never know that he chased down Naaman and had stashed the booty in a safe place where Elijah would never find it. He forgot who he was dealing with. He was aware that sometimes Elijah didn't know what was going on. For instance, when the Shunammite woman first came to Elijah after her son died, the prophet couldn't discern the cause of her great distress. He said the Lord had hidden it from him and had not told him what was going on. So Elijah didn't know everything. Gehazi counted on him not knowing about his grabby, grubby game, that the Lord would hide this from his knowledge too. But he was mistaken. Elisha confronted him quietly at first, asking where he'd gone and what he'd done. Nowhere, nothing, Gehazi said. But Elisha knew. He scolded Gehazi. This is not the time to accept money and clothing and olive orchards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female slaves. This is not the time to accept any form of payment for the work we do. Sounds as though Elijah knew what Gehazi was thinking, what he planned to do with all that money. Gehazi was going to buy an olive orchard. Gehazi was going to get a vineyard. Gehazi was going to get him some livestock and servants. Gehazi was going to be rich. Maybe he was looking for a way to leave Elisha's service, a wonderful service, a service full of miracle and help, service to God, which is a reward in itself. But material things mattered most to Gehazi, getting stuff, getting goods, getting over. But instead, he got sick. Sick with the very disease that Naaman had shed. Now Gehazi was a pariah, an outcast. What good would his ill-gotten gains do for him now? Elisha admonished him that now was not the time to crave and collect material things. This implies there would be a time for that in the future, but Gehazi had just ruined his chances for getting a reward when the time was right. If indeed Elisha was hoping Gehazi would take over as prophet when he died, that hope was dashed. If only Gehazi had waited, how much more might he have gotten? Goodbye, Gehazi. Elijah sent him away. He could no longer trust Gehazi. Gehazi had put false words in Elijah's mouth, telling a tale that Naaman accepted as true. If anyone ever heard of it, it would negate all the good Elijah ever tried to do. It would make people doubt his word, and that was a disaster for a prophet. If the people doubted Elisha's word, they would soon doubt God too. This could not be. So Gehazi had to go. Gehazi was the loser that day. Now he would no longer be witness to or part of the work Elijah would do for the Lord. No amount of silver was worth losing out on that. Gehazi's name means valley of vision, but his greed blinded him to just how blessed he already was, even without those 240 pounds of silver. The overarching lesson for us here, obviously, is not to get greedy. We sometimes have a tendency that's altogether human to seek goods and glory, to think we deserve recognition, be it with words or things, for the work we do for God. Gehazi thought Naaman owed Elijah. He disrespected Naaman's good intentions, his desire to want to give. He cloaked his subterfuge in a guise of charity, saying, "This is not for me, it's for these guys coming to see Elijah." But he knew all along it was for himself. Elijah knew too, and that's why he called Gehazi on the carpet. Elisha had to preserve the integrity of the prophetic office. What if there was another Aramean who wanted to experience the mercy and grace and love of God, but balked because he thought he had to pay for what God so freely gives? Gehazi gave the wrong impression of the prophetic power, and he paid a steep price for it. We do later see Gehazi at court telling the king about some of Elisha's miracles, specifically the one about the Shunammite woman and her son. And as he was sharing the story, who should walk into the court right then but the woman herself and her son? A woman who long ago had showed Gehazi the right way to serve God. She had prepared that room unasked for Elijah, and when Elijah offered her a perk, she politely refused it. She was just glad to do something for God by taking care of God's prophet. She wanted nothing more than that satisfaction. And that's the lesson we learn from the now gruesome Gehazi, that the sheer joy of serving God and helping the people God sends to us is all the payment we need or want when we work for the Lord. May we be ever ready to do all we can for all of God's people, whoever they may be. And may we do it only for the sake of offering service in God's name. May we never give in to greed like good old Gehazi. Let us pray. God, there are so many ways we can serve you by serving your people. Whether it's a room on a roof or a recipe for healing, keep our gaze, unlike Gehazi's, on giving you the glory for the great things that you do. Amen.